Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for the Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Nick Cale.
And we are off and running live here on a Saturday in the A. Welcome into the Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. We are with you for about the next 2 hours as we take you up until 6:30 tonight, leading you into Atlanta Hawks basketball. The phone number, as always, 404-741-0929. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can get me on Twitter at Nick Cale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dylan Matthews, the chairman of the board, as he was just actually literally running the board for the first wild card game between the Bills and the Colts. DM, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, man. I wish I could have seen a good old Georgia boy kick a nice little field goal and put us in overtime, though.
Oh, Rodrigo Doinkinship, so he could hit one off the uprights again. We are loaded today. Harry Douglas, former Falcon wide receiver, coming up at the top of the hour. Deshaun Tate in hour number two. And my God, what a way to kick off super wild card weekend in the NFL playoffs as the Bills knock off the Colts 27-24. And my God, do we have takes to get into from that game. Let's go back to the end of the first half where it is 10-7 Indianapolis. They have the ball inside the 5-yard line of the Bills. And they have a fourth down coming up, a minute 46 to go to halftime. Colts physically dominating the game, winning on the scoreboard at that point 10-7, winning at the box score, playing the brand of football they want to do, run the ball, play physical, both sides of the line of scrimmage, tough in the trenches. They held Buffalo's high-octane offense that had been averaging about 38 points a game for the last 6 weeks to 7 points. They decide to go for it on fourth down. It made no sense to me. Look, I get it. Buffalo's got a great offense. You know, settling for three will usually get you beat. But if Buffalo was scoring a ton, I could understand. Yeah, so you got to get seven here. You can't settle for three. But you had a chance to go up 13-7 and put Buffalo in a little bit of a tough spot. You go for it. You don't make it. And next thing you know, the Bills go on a run, and it got sweaty towards the end, as it always does in the NFL, because that's the kind of game that Phillip Rivers always plays. I feel like Phillip Rivers has been playing the same game week in and week out for the last 15 years. Every game Phillip Rivers is in, whether he's a Charger or a Colt, is an epic nail-biter. It is amazing that this guy continues to play in a legitimate sweat each and every week. Like if you're like a Phillip Rivers fan dating back to when he was an NC State guy and you've watched every game of his career, I don't know that you like don't have heart conditions at this point. This guy will literally give you a heart attack each and every week. The other thing I didn't get is as I'm sitting here watching the game, listening to it on the station, and I'm scrolling through Twitter, guys, can we stop going to Twitter and arguing and complaining about why did Frank Wright go for two when they were down 14 and they scored a touchdown? Guys, it's very simple. There's a thing nowadays called analytics and sabermetrics. It's kind of a baseball thing that has bled into football and basketball. And it's really simple. Like they want to use names like analytics and sabermetrics. It's basic math. The math says when you're down 14, you score a touchdown, you're down 8, you have a better percentage chance of winning the game if you go for two the first time, get it, trim the deficit to 6. So in the event you get the ball back, now all you need is a touchdown and the extra point and you win the game. It's something, I don't know the exact math, but it's a higher percentage chance of winning. And yet I actually see people go to Twitter and say it's the wrong decision. Like if I told you right now, if you go do this when it comes to playing Powerball, there's a 4% chance you'll win. But if you don't do this, there's a 2% chance you'll win Powerball. Well, which one are you going to do? Would you have a 4% chance or a 2% chance? Yeah, I think if you have common sense and understand basic math, you take the better percentage chance. Like I still can't believe it's 2021 and people don't understand that concept. This is like 3 years now that this has become what is widely discussed and accepted by NFL coaches that have their little chart. They have their little analytics chart. There's actually like a math nerd who comes up with it. But yet we just kind of laugh at math. Yeah, if you want to live that life, go ahead, man. All the power to you. But how about this, man? What if the Bills would have lost this game? If they would have found a way to lose on Josh Allen's really silly idea to hold on to that ball, try to extend it. Next thing you know, it's second down and 33. Man, I'm telling you, these Bills fans would have been like, what do we got to do to win a playoff game? 25 years since our last home game. Like, if they would have lost that game and found a way to choke that away, they would have deserved another 25 years of ineptitude and another 25 years of the Patriots with a Hall of Fame quarterback making life miserable in Orchard Park, New York. But the Bills win. They advance. They were about a 7-point favorite. They win by 3, 27-24. Allen and Diggs continue to be almost unstoppable. What a combination. What an offseason move by Buffalo to go out and get Stephon Diggs. It's made a world of difference, no doubt about it. And the last thing, I mentioned this to my producer, Dylan, earlier today. Phillip Rivers' career, it might be over. This might have been it that we've seen Phillip Rivers. And I was thinking about this, and it just kind of hit me. Phillip Rivers is the Chris Paul of the NFL. And you might be thinking, what the hell is Nick Cale talking about? All right, quarterback, point guard, similar position. Both have been around for over 15 years. Both are Hall of Famers. Both have only reached, believe it or not, if my research is correct, one conference final or one conference championship. I believe Chris Paul has only played in one Western Conference Finals, and I believe Phillip Rivers has only played in one AFC championship. I think it was the year they ran into the Patriots when Randy Moss and Tom Brady were undefeated. And both can only go so far. They take their team to the postseason, to the doorstep of getting to a championship, and they get denied. And it's not a knock on them because, like, they're both phenomenal. And I love Phillip Rivers. I love the yelling, the trash talking, the accountability that he holds on his team for his fellow teammates and players. I'm going to miss Phillip Rivers. Yeah, we're kind of looking at maybe the end of an era between Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady. So it's pretty interesting. Obviously, we get the Rams and the Seahawks coming up next, the Bucks and Washington tonight, and then a triple header tomorrow with Baltimore, Tennessee. Also, we've got Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and another NFC game I'm drawing a blank off the top of my head, but we will do all the picks, Chicago, New Orleans, by the way, tomorrow as well. We'll give you picks against the spread before we get out of here, probably around 6:20, 6:25. All right, 404-741-0929 if you want to jump in to talk NFL playoffs, Super Wild Card Weekend. Harry Douglas is going to join us at the top of the hour, but we will transition from the NFL playoffs to the Atlanta Falcons when we come back. The latest on the GM search, the head coach search, as well as Todd McShay has his first mock draft out, and it's pretty interesting who he has the Falcons taking it for. We'll delve into all of that on the other side. Nick Cale Show, off and running live on a Saturday. Great to be with you, Atlanta, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. All right, 442, welcome back in. Nick Cale Show, shortened edition today. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Former Falcons wide receiver and host here on 92.9 The Game, Harry Douglas, will join us coming up next segment at the top of the hour. You'll also hear from Arthur Blank and Rich McKay in a matter of moments as we transition now from The NFL playoffs and wild card weekend to the Atlanta Falcons. And let's get into the latest because it has been a busy week on the Falcons front, both with the general manager search as well as the head coach search. And I thought it was interesting to see this tweet from Mike Bell about a day ago at Mike Bell ATL. He said, quote, "Hearing a lot of Rick Smith getting the Falcons GM job, which if rumors are accurate, I really like." And I second that. I mean, this has been a guy that I've had pretty much as my number two choice for GM for the Atlanta Falcons. You guys know, if you've been listening to this Saturday show for about the last 3.5 months, that my number one GM guy was Lewis Riddick. My number one head coach guy is Eric Bieniemy. If Lewis Riddick is not meant to be, whether Atlanta doesn't want to go down that road or if Lewis Riddick doesn't want to go down that road, then Rick Smith was my number two guy all along, the former Texans general manager. And look, he had a really good, I would say a solid to good run with Houston that ended with him ultimately losing his job and Bill O'Brien won that power struggle. And we clearly saw that that was a mistake because Bill O'Brien traded away DeAndre Hopkins like an idiot and gave up the best receiver, maybe the second best receiver in football for a aging running back in David Johnson coming off of a bunch of leg injuries. Ultimately, Bill O'Brien gets fired. We realize he was not a good GM. He was probably a better coach, but he was not a great coach. And while Rick Smith lost that power struggle, it clearly looked to be the wrong move. So if the Falcons are going to go for Rick Smith, I completely co-sign. I am all on board with that. Not that the Falcons care what I think, but I would really, really, I can't say I'd love it because Lewis was my number one guy, but I really like it. This is the guy that got Deshaun Watson. This is the guy that got J.J. Watt. This is the guy that got DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, he had some misses, but he pretty much got three Hall of Fame type players. So I think you could do a lot worse on the GM front if you're the Falcons than Rick Smith. So here's kind of where we are with guys that have either interviewed or will interview very shortly. Of course, Raheem Morris, your interim head coach, Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coordinator, Joe Brady, the Panthers OC, formerly the quarterbacks coach slash offensive coordinator at LSU, and Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers OC under Matt LaFleur. Still guys that are coaching that are obviously either going to interview or have already had discussions. Eric Bieniemy with Kansas City, Arthur Smith with Tennessee, Brian Daboll with Buffalo. Of course, Bieniemy, Daboll, and Smith all still coaching in the NFL playoffs. Now, on the GM side of things, you have Rick Smith, the former Texans GM, and then you have a bunch of either assistant GMs or heads of college scouting, college football scouting directors. You have Anthony Robinson, college football scouting director for our Falcons, Brad Holmes, who does the same role with the Los Angeles Rams, Terry Fontenot, who is the Saints vice president slash assistant GM, and Morocco Brown, who's the college scouting director for the Colts. Look, Colts, Saints, Rams, all in the playoffs, all have done a pretty darn good job of drafting, and these guys have been with current GMs, learning underneath them and beneath them and learning a whole bunch and gaining wisdom and tutelage. They all seem like fine choices, although Rick Smith has a resume. So I think he would be the leading candidate, and I would be totally on board with that. All right, so let's get to the owner of your Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank, and he was on earlier this week discussing the candidates and who he likes with who they've spoken to so far.
As I said earlier, some very good candidates. Really, both general manager opportunities and head coach opportunities. I think the ones we've seen so far, I think they've been thoughtful. They've been thoughtful about our team, what we have to do to get, in their view, what we have to do to get where we need to be.
And I would say this. Look, I want an offensive guy, which is why I want Bieniemy, Smith, or Daboll. But in the event all three of those guys are not meant to be for whatever reason, they get a job elsewhere, the Falcons decide to go a different avenue, if you're going to go with a defensive guy, give me Robert Saleh from the 49ers. Have you guys ever seen this guy coaching on the sideline? I mean, he is as intense as it gets. He looks like he could play outside linebacker right now for the 49ers. I mean, this guy, you know, I'm not going to make, you know, my decision based on the way the guy physically is put together. But, I mean, my God, he's as jacked as Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman were for the Niners 8 years ago. This guy's a total nut job. He demands toughness. And the 49ers play a physical brand of football. So if they decide to go with a defensive guy, Robert Saleh would be my guy. In fact, right now, I would rank him this way. Bieniemy 1, Arthur Smith 2, Brian Daboll 3. All OCs, Chiefs, Titans, Bills. But I would take Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, over Joe Brady from the Panthers, Nathaniel Hackett from the Packers, and Raheem Morris. Joe Brady could very well be the next Sean McVay, young whiz kid, innovator, yada, yada, yada. But I don't know that I've seen enough. I mean, I saw 1 year in college with LSU where he was part of a coaching conglomerate of offensive minds. And then Nathaniel Hackett is an interesting choice, but almost, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite and contradict myself, he is under Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur really has a lot of influence with the play calling, a lot like Eric Bieniemy. Even though Bieniemy calls plays, it's, you know, it's still kind of Andy Reid's system and it's his scheme. And as great as I think both of these guys could be, and I like Bieniemy much more than Hackett, you know, you've got these two guys under LaFleur and Reid. Their quarterbacks are Rodgers and Mahomes. They've got Devontae Adams and Kelce and Cheetah. You know, I don't want to sit here and say that me and Dylan Matthews could roll into Kansas City and call up plays and drop 30 a week, but I kind of think we could. They're that good. They're that loaded. It's almost fail-proof.
I definitely could.
You definitely could?
No doubt.
No doubt.
Team would average 50 a week.
People would be losing their... Dylan Matthews hasn't huddled up in like 6 weeks. What is he doing?
Wouldn't matter. We practice probably about once a month. We'd be fine.
I like it. I like the confidence. Dylan Matthews from Saturday producer to Chiefs OC. It could happen. All right, so let's get to Rich McKay because he had a couple of interesting things to say, and he goes on to expound upon whether or not, you know, they're looking for an offensive guy or a defensive guy.
So I really don't think there is a preference. I could show you studies that would say to you, oh, boy, you should hire a defensive head coach because of these numbers. And I literally, Jeff, could show you the same study, different angle, and argue OC. So I'm of the position, and we've done this, Arthur knows, and if you look at the slate of people we're going to interview, it's pretty evenly split. And it's for that reason we're just not going to get slanted that way. I felt like I told you I take the blame forever for the Petrino situation in that we pigeonholed ourselves. We said we've got to have an offensive coach. We've got to have somebody to deal with Michael. We've got to have somebody that can get us to the next level. And we've got to do it. And Matt was not the way to look at it.
Okay, there's Rich McKay. Now, look, I would say this. I think, you know, with the candidates I've given you and rolled out, three of my four are offensive guys. I would be on board with Robert Saleh. But that being said, if you hire Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator from the 49ers, he needs to hire an offensive coordinator that is very bright, sharp, innovative, young, and understands the modern-day NFL offense. You don't hire Robert Saleh, and then all of a sudden he comes in, and your offensive coordinator is Chen Gailey, who just got fired with the Miami Dolphins. That is the mistake Brian Flores made when he became the head coach. They draft Tua, and you've got Chen Gailey, who's stuck in 1997. You need to have a modern-day guy. And hopefully they get it right. All right. Also, earlier this week on the Falcons front, from the draft standpoint, as we go from GM to head coach to what the Falcons will do at four, look, we will discuss mock drafts for the next 3-4 months on this show and all the other shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, but none really bigger, none really brighter than ESPN's Todd McShay, who I kind of like a little bit more than Mel Kiper. I like Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. I think he does a really good job. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. But McShay is one of the best, and he has the Falcons going Zach Wilson, quarterback from BYU at four. And he actually has Justin Fields dipping all the way to 15 to the Patriots. So Belichick getting Justin Fields, if you can stand to stomach that. But interesting that McShay says the decision between Fields and Wilson will be close. It's perhaps, in his opinion, the toughest player versus player debate in the NFL draft class right now, at least for Todd McShay. They both compete so well. McShay goes on to say he's going with Wilson because of the toughness in the pocket, the deep ball prowess, giving the Falcons a signal caller of the future. Look, I would really like Zach Wilson. I would love Justin Fields. So we'll see which way they go. Plenty of time to discuss that. But look, this is going to be an interesting couple of days and couple of weeks, because now, if you look at it, I mean, there's no exact timetable for when the Falcons name a GM or a head coach. Again, you got to look at some of these guys that are still coaching. Eric Bieniemy, we think, will be coaching for the next 3.5 weeks or so. Arthur Smith, his time could be up as soon as tomorrow. Brian Daboll, the Bills won today, so they've got another week to go. I think many people think they'll get to the AFC Championship in 2 weeks against Kansas City. But it'll be fun to track, and we will certainly keep everybody updated and break it down as to what's real and what's not on the NFL coaching and general manager front for your Atlanta Falcons. Speaking of real, I'm not sure that there's anybody more real than Harry Douglas. He just gets on the mic and he spits it. And if you don't agree, he doesn't really care. He's going to join us coming up next, our former Falcons wide receiver and, of course, host on the Falcons Radio Network pre- and post-game show with Chris Goforth. Harry Douglas coming up next here as we kick off the 5 o'clock hour of the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.